You can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth the treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have, you can have everything. But what does it, what does it mean? It all means nothing if you don't care to put something. You can't just talk the talk. You got to walk that walk. Yes, you do. It all means nothing if you don't care to put something. And I stand up for you. And I stand up for you. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Look in the mirror, propped up with looking back at you. Define the life you're living, not by what you take but what you're keeping. And if you bet on love, there's no way you'll ever lose. Take a stand, make a stand for what's right. It's always worth, always worth the fight. It all means nothing, and if you don't stand up.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.
I never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. you will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We have so much to talk about, and there is nothing more pleasing than when things don't go Donald Trump's way. And certainly, there is a three-ring circus going around right now in the Trump administration. And we need to discuss when this three-ring circus very well may come to an end. It seems that every way you look, there's trouble on the horizon. And it is not getting any easier. And our evaluations of what's taking place seems to be determined by who it is you ask, because there are so many people with such different determinations related to the turmoil that is existing inside his administration and how things seemingly not to be going his way. I think the people from Alabama, though they did not speak with one voice, clearly have thrown a shot across the bow of Trump's world and his administration, and very well may be one of two of the beginning of the end of this turmoil that we find ourselves going through. So today I just would like us to just talk about all the things that seem to be beginning. We got a blessing by not having Roy Moore being elected. And Mr. Jones seems to be a great candidate to be in the Senate and will give us some moral value where we are about to have little or none. And so today we just need to talk about what's going on. Omarosa has been fired or resigned. And you know she's going to be full of turmoil once she leaves the White House and is wanting to tell her story, because if she speaks to the story that she's already had, that won't be anything to last very long. So on Good Morning America today, she suggested that people really going to want to hear her story. So we need to talk about, you know, what story can she tell unless it's something that's going to surprise us or confirm what it is we already know. It is interesting that, again, on all different directions, you see this man finding himself in the midst of trouble. He can no longer guarantee that the people he believes in or the people that he is for will gain a seat or win their election. And so that people are going to wonder why, how close to him they need to be when it's when his, you know, he lost in Virginia, he's lost in Alabama, and people of color seem to be rising up and doing what is needed to be in support of white Americans who know exactly what's going on and who are willing to support the truth. But we need to just talk about what it is that we think is going on and happening right now and the turmoil that seems to be swirling around this band in every direction. Dee, what are your thoughts today about him losing in Alabama, Morosa being fired, and what kind of understanding or truth will we get out of her suggesting that she is the only black person that was at the table?
Well, good evening, James, and welcome back. And James, I think it's a good time to start sharpening the knives. So it seems you've been salivating over that state for a while, and it looks like the wheels are truly coming off. Like Tyrone had said earlier this year, it seems to be the year of exposure. And so I'm ready now to pull up a chair to the table and put my napkin around my collar, down in my collar, and I want to sit down at the table and eat with you for a while, I think.
It is clear that the wheels are starting to wobble, and it is no telling what Amorosa might be able to tell us since she spent time with him before and after the election. And certainly, if she's going to just stay the course, then there wouldn't be nothing special about her book whatsoever. So, Cheryl, it is no telling what is about to happen. We need to be happy about the fact that Doug Jones won in Alabama and that we're starting to feel a winning streak. We're two for two right now. He didn't want us to win in Virginia, and he didn't want us to win in Alabama, so we may very well be on a winning streak related to all the things that Donald Trump seems to believe are in our best interest.
Good evening, everyone, and how is everyone doing? Oh, yes, and I mean, I looked at the numbers. The blacks really showed out. I mean, I think it was 98% of women and 93% of meaning black women and 93% of black men that voted for Jones. It definitely was a show out in the numbers. Now, what did you ask me?
Well, I'm just saying it looks like, you know, we won the governorship in Virginia and we won in Alabama. It seems like people are starting to recognize that Donald Trump was the wrong selection. And so we need to just recognize and stay the course and continue our conversation and continue to beat the drums related to getting out of this turmoil that we find ourselves in.
You are so right. Exactly. And I mean, we are definitely stepping up to the plate and making a difference, and our voices are being heard, and it's being heard at the polls, and the numbers really showed. We had a lot of campaign going on, you know, as for Jones, which was very, very productive. And I think, you know, even some of the whites, because I got a chance to look at the numbers, you know, they saw what was going to be put into office and did not vote for more. I'm excited. I don't know about everybody else, but it shows victory. It shows that things are moving ahead. It, you know, it's just that little glimpse is showing. And I think that we have much work to do, but we have a lot to look forward to. And if we continue to do what we are doing right now, we can make the changes, the necessary changes that needs to be made.
You know, D, as people are calling for his resignation, the fact that, again, he was not able to drag his man across the finish line, do you believe that he is seeing the, you know, the writing on the table, or understanding or recognizing that he's losing momentum? Even though I saw some news in Kentucky where no matter how little he's been able to do, the people of Kentucky seemingly are dedicated and committed to him as an individual. So you still have a lot of people who are in his camp that are refusing to leave, but you are having a lot of independents who recognize that they backed the wrong horse this time.
Yeah, James, I find it quite fascinating, and I'm not even sure that's the right word to use, but I find it fascinating that how this party seemed to think that people are stupid enough to do exactly their bidding. Now, again, you're right. There's still some that are holding out. The hardcore grassroots, I guess they would call them, you know, on this idea that make America white again, or whatever it is that they think they're doing. But you know, as time goes on, circumstances seem to come about where people come to their senses. Especially my observation has been, and I find it sickening, that they use Christianity and the Bible to make it right. Just in the same sense of the word, like if you don't think the way we do, then you're not a patriot. And so they use that same idea. If you think differently than we do, then you're not a Christian. And I get that a lot around here. You know, I don't know the type of radio station that are aired where you all are, but Georgia, like Alabama, being a ruby red state, there are not very opposition in the way of radio, or many choices that you have to choose from. You know, the few choices that we do have, like Ricky Smiley and things like that, they are on a whole nother plane. They're not serious enough to really want to address the issues no more than about 10 or 15 minutes. The only other person that was in that way was Tavis Smiley. And, of course, PBS has ousted him now, and he was a voice to be reckoned with. And I don't know of any other person in his realm, when it comes down to a person of color, that was out there like he was. If you all know of any, please let me know. I'd like to tune in and see what's going on with them.
Well, let me ask you this, because you have been telling us to be afraid and concerned about Bannon. What do you think is going to happen to him now that he's failed twice in a row with getting his particular candidate to win in Virginia and now in Alabama?
Well, you know, I think Bannon, particularly more so than Trump, would be okay. Bannon has always had a base. He has always had a radio station and a huge, huge following. Their mistake was that they thought it was time for them to raise their head. And thank God they did. You know, had they stayed secretly, and I hope I'm not giving nobody ideas, but had they stayed secretly and became a secret society, then they probably would have been a lot more dangerous or another force to be reckoned with. But when they raise their head and truth always prevail, then I think this is what's happening to them. But once they crawl back in, once they slither back into their hole, they have a tendency to regroup and probably will come out again in the next 15 to 20 years.
Well, it's clear that he seems to believe that he has the ability to select the right person at the right time, and it is not working in his favor. So I'm not sure why, if this continues, he's going to dig favor to the Democratic Party to help defeat and help the Democrats win back both the House and the Senate. I mean, he is playing a major role in this circus environment that we find ourselves in right now. Reverend Smith, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Reverend Smith, what are your thoughts about, first, the Democratic Party being successful in Alabama, and now what we see seemingly being the fall from grace with Donald Trump in terms of people turning away and supporting the people, the opposition?
Well, we look at individuals like Bannon. That was the last person you all were talking about. Bannon is going nowhere. A lot of these things, a lot of these individuals are very frightened now in the first place. All of the subversive groups are somewhat frightened because the face of America is changing. The face of America is no longer redneck with guns in the back windows and pickup trucks. We all got pickup trucks now, and we all got guns. And the mixture, the melting pot that we have in America today, the Bible tells us that nothing that is covered shall be uncovered. So it's being uncovered. And as the gentleman said just a few seconds ago, it happened to them long before they intended it to happen to them. They thought that it was time, and they miscalculated. But you want to know the truth? They did it at the time God wanted them to do it, because later on it would have been worse than what it is now, because the younger generation, the millennium generation that's coming up, would not have heard or listened to that foolishness, and it would have been a lot of killing and a lot of foolishness going on. So God went on and brought it out now. This is the way I look at it. We are in an era now that is really, really not frightening to me, but it's joyous to me to see all of these house of cards that are falling. They're constantly trying. They've tried for so long, and they're constantly, even now, they're still trying. But take my word for it. All of these groups, including Bannon and all of the rest of them, there's a file on every last one of them, every one of them. There are undercover people that are actually working in these groups. They can hear what I'm saying on this line tonight, and that's not going to do them any good, because the one that they think it is, it's not. And the one that they think it's not, it's not. So it's not going to do them any good. That's why I went on and said it, because they are not undercover at all. They are not living the life that they think that they are living. Everything that they are doing, every move that they are doing. And when Doug Jones won, when all of these other things came to pass, it was not surprising to me. It wasn't surprising to me. But it was God saying to all of them, you had your fun, and we let you go so far, but your time is not, and it's not going to be. So I look at the Democratic Party myself. I'm not a Democrat, and I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent, and don't mind saying it. I got angry with the Democrats, and I got angry with the with the, I never would have been a Republican, but I got angry with the Democrats and I switched over to independent so that I can make my own choice. I can make my own choice. I don't have to sit up here. I would never vote for a Republican, but I would vote for an independent or a Democrat. All of my life, I voted Democrat, and that's probably what I will still do. But the Democrats really are putting themselves also further and further in the hole at the same time.
Let me ask you, Cheryl. No, I was watching on Tuesday, and I have to tell you, there was some fear in my heart, just like the night when we watched during the presidential election. And it went back and forth, and till the very end, where it seemed like Jones pulled ahead and there were not going to be any more flipping. But what was amazing was what Charles Barkley had to say in regards to the Democrats, where he had said, suggested they needed to stop taking our vote for candidates and that they needed to do the work for the people of color and the poor. So to me, Charles made a statement that should galvanize us by color and by economics to come together and do what is best for people of color and people for the poor, which merge both blacks and whites.
I didn't get a chance to, didn't get a chance to see what was going on at all, to hear his statement. And I kind of heard some of what you were saying. I don't know if I was hearing some noise and I didn't hear everything that you were saying.
Well, Charles said that the Democratic Party needed to stop taking people of color for granted and that they needed to do what was best for the poor and for people of color, which I thought was an opportunity to galvanize us and put us together where we could be a greater force, merging both black and white and the middle class.
I think that you know, we took the opportunity and came together at this time because, you know, like I said before, we really came out in numbers. And I think that everything that was said was eye-opening for everybody who voted. And we really showed out when it came, you know, to numbers in the poll. And I think that's more what I was looking at. I didn't hear all of the comments, you know, and everything that was going on. And I'm pretty sure there were some pretty profound statements and comments, you know, addressed during the time of campaign to get the people out and, you know, for it to be as successful as it was. You know, and I'm looking forward to that, not just being on that one occasion, but just going back and to remember, you know, it is a privilege. And what was done for us to be able to have this opportunity to vote and that we really need to get out and do it. You know, I hope this continues on. So, like I said, I didn't get a chance to hear, you know, a lot of the statements, or practically any of them. I just, you know, was watching the numbers and then just the last, you know, the victory. But I'm pretty sure we had some pretty profound, you know, statements and that went on during the time of campaign that made a tremendous impact on everyone who got out and vote, and especially the blacks really showed out in numbers.
Regina, what are your thoughts in regard to some of the things that have come out? I'm going to ask everybody to comment on this because I just thought this was one of the most damaging statements that I have ever heard a newspaper write in an editorial. It said the president, who called all but called out a senator, a whore, is unfit to clean the toilets of Barack Obama's presidential library, or shine the shoes of George W. Bush's, or shine George W. Bush's shoes. And that was a part of the editorial on the USA Today. And I'm just saying, this is becoming a serious battle where people are saying some things that are just were at some one point unheard of. I mean, to suggest to make the suggestion that was made by USA Today in regards to Donald Trump's presidency is surely a serious statement.
Yes, James, good evening. I'm actually almost unavailable, but I did not want to miss tonight's show. You're very, very right. That is an unheard of precedent that was set by USA Today in that editorial. And I believe what it does is it shows how we're tired of just tolerating what is happening. Someone is understanding that we have to speak out. Those of us who've never spoken out before, those of us who have not gone against the Republican Party before, just thinking that they were automatically for them, they're seeing that is not the case anymore. And people are very, very tired. So I commend USA Today for making that statement, but I also hope and pray that we understand that we've got to do more, and we can't let make us think that we've arrived, because we haven't arrived yet.
Where it clearly seems to me that we are making a push to gain back the House and the Senate. And with papers making these kind of statements, D, I mean, I don't know how much uglier you can get when you, again, let me say it again. The president who'd all but called a senator a whore is unfit to clean the toilet in Barack Obama's presidential library, are to shine George W. Bush's shoes. I mean, for a paper to come out and make that kind of resounding statement, and we know when we say somebody's not good enough to clean somebody's toilet, what else are you good enough to clean?
Do you think that they're going to George Bush and his camp will retaliate against USA Today as a result of that statement?
No, I think that somehow or another Donald Trump is going to have to retaliate. I think that both Obama and George Bush, Bush will stay quiet and not even get involved, because I cannot imagine what else worse you could say. I wanted to get your comment on that. Did you hear that editorial statement?
No, James, I did not. That one I didn't hear. I did hear Barkley speak. But for USA Today to come out and say that, these other newspapers will probably want to follow suit. And I think that it's going to really get a lot of those grassroots people to kind of sit back and start thinking again about what the circumstances are. Let me run real quick to Steve Bannon. Reverend Smith was right. Steve Bannon's not going nowhere. I saw him on a YouTube conference with some black businessmen. He is very well known, and everybody knows him. And apparently, there are some people, even black people, that like him. And so he was the keynote speaker at this Black Business conference. And so, look, it looked like that he's going to be one of those flip-flop kind of guys. If you take me, I'll be on your side. If that don't work, then I'll go over here and see who will take me over here. So, yeah, it looked like he might be around for a while. And I just wanted to throw that in. Thank you.
Well, let me just say this to you, Gee. You got to know that there are people out there who are turning against him because I didn't get the congressman's name, but one congressman said that we don't need to be following alcoholic-looking drunk, and they were referring to Steve Bannon, talking about the way he looked is like he's an alcoholic trying to recover. And Reverend Smith, let me just ask you, when USA Today came with a statement about Donald Trump not being able to clean the toilets of his library, W. Bush's shoes, I mean, these are comments that you don't normally hear regarding a president when you think favorably of them.
If you'll notice, James, when the newspapers lately, Washington Post, New York Times, USA Today, all of these papers are now turning against Trump, except for those that are owned by Fox News and their owners. They're all turning against him because this man is, there's something wrong with him. And everybody is beginning to see that now. They're really beginning to see that. You can look back at the slurring of his words sometime last week when he was trying to make a speech and he couldn't even say USA, the United States of America. You know, all kinds of things are changing. What I see myself is this, is that he is not worthy. And I'll say it, he is not worthy. Because this man is, everything that he's doing it for himself and his family right now. Whatever we do to him and kick him out or whatever else happens, this man is still going to be fine because all of those foreign countries that he went to, believe me, he made contacts enough that they will probably stay quiet for a couple of years, and then unless this whole situation goes farther than it's gone. When you look at Mueller is coming up on him real fast, and he knows it. He knows that. So this is why he's constantly trying in any way he can to make things quieter or better in his side. And the one thing that really is bothering me is how can these individuals who are very wealthy, the Republican Party, wealthy as they can be, how can they sit up on their behinds up there in Congress and call themselves men? How can they call themselves men? I look at them as being wussies, because how can you stand up there and talk about your Christian values? And I hate it when people go using the Bible as their crutch. They talk about their Christian values, and yet and still they back this man up when they know that he's wrong. There's nothing that he does is actually right. Now, while we've been doing all this talking about sexual harassment, he's been back behind the scenes signing papers and other laws into law. He really has. He did one on conservation. He did them on other things that we're looking at one thing with this sleight of hand foolishness. But he's not worthy. He's not worthy. You look at what Putin even said about him today, how wonderful he is and how wonderful a person. You look at Haley, who got on television today. They're almost talking about going to war with Iran. You know, so all of these things are really stupid. And this man is going to create, unless those sorry, including the Democrats, I'm going to put them in there, the Democrats or the Republicans, stand up and stop being little sissies. The women are the only one that will stand up and say anything. The women. What kind of men are we anymore? What kind of people that we'll let a man walk over us just because you got a couple of more dollars, supposedly, than I have? He's not worthy to clean Barack Obama toilets. He's not worthy to shine anybody's shoes. He should be in the gutter. God, okay, thank you.
Preach.
Regina, you've been one of the ones that have been keeping us, telling us to be focused and committed to what it is we have to do. What are your feelings now related to Virginia and now Alabama and us moving forward with doing a clean sweep of the rest of these states? Mm-hmm. In regards to getting this man the midterm elections won and changing who is in charge of the House and the Senate?
Well, let me share this. The surprise for me, and I guess it should not be a surprise, but I want us to, that this is why we have to stay focused. Look at the small percentage that Jones won by. Look at the small percentage. So that lets you know that there's a strong group of people out there who don't care if we are being sexually molested by predators. There's a group out there who, even though these things are happening, they're still willing to vote for these sick individuals and put them in office. Now, it is because the other folk, and I said this on a couple of programs before, people were saying, well, I don't think they're going to win. I don't think we're going to win. I said, y'all, they're being quiet, and they're working quietly. You don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And that's what we've got to start doing now for these midterm elections that are coming up. We don't have to tell people what we're doing, but we've got to work. And we've got to work very quietly. And that's what our challenge is. Keep our mouths closed and keep our hands to the plow.
Well, do you see this as we come into next year, the ability for us to galvanize ourselves and to get some momentum as we move forward? Will this ignite us as a country to come together and do what we need to do to keep this momentum going?
All we have to do is let Steve Bannon and let Trump help us to win. Let them keep talking, let us keep quiet, and when folk get tired of them, this new tax law come out where if you're under $50,000, you're going to be paying taxes, more taxes. When we won't have our health care, when we don't have this and we don't have that, let them keep working against us. Oh, yeah, we'll galvanize. We'll take our behinds out there and vote them out. We'll galvanize, but we've got to make sure that the people we're voting for are actually not taking advantage of the fact that we're tired and that they're actually going to work in our favor. That's what we've got to be. Because they can prey on our tiredness. Does that make sense?
It does. Dee, let me ask you this. Dee, how in the world can, when you suggest that people who are making under $100,000 be happy with $1,500 or $2,000 or less, how in the world can you make me feel good about that when you're decreasing the corporate rate almost 10%? I mean, I majored in math, but I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to see who the winner is when it comes to this tax rate.
Well, I tell you, they are a master of not a lot of things, but they are a master of spinning things and playing on words. And, like you said before, the $1,500 is not going to make my life no better throughout the year. And so So, but Miss Regina makes a great point. You know, when it came down to the huge number of black people coming out in Alabama to vote, they were speaking of how there was Barack Obama type of numbers in Alabama, and it was all due to the mouth that they had. Roy Moore running off at the mouth by black people hadn't done so well since slavery, or whatever it was that he said. So, you know, they have a tendency to put their foot in their mouth, and I'm really pleased about that. And I think when they continue to do so, this thing will turn around. But one of the things I want to mention, though, about us, about black voters, we have a tendency to get complacent. And so what should be done is for us to keep bringing up this subject and staying on social media to keep stoking our fire. They've stoked their fire for 20 years. So we need to stoke out every day, drop messages, something that would provoke thought on social media to keep our people involved, because a lot of times they don't want to be involved. They just want to talk about their birthday and things like that. So we got an uphill battle. Thank you, Jane.
Cheryl, but, you know, when that D brought something up, you know, these men are supposed to be intelligent. You would think they went to good schools, being that they had that opportunity. But why in the world would a man suggest that America was great again during a period when there was slavery and families were together, when we knew that families were being split during slavery? It's just hard to understand why Roy Moore was just constantly putting his foot in his mouth, and why would he select slavery as a time when he thought America was at its best?
See, you have to realize that's what he believed. I mean, he truly believed what he is saying. You know, they can't see it being any, that it was not good. And now, why did he bring slavery into it? I'm not sure. But I do believe what he's saying, that as sick as it sounds, this is something that he really believes. Because the world that he lives in, meaning that he's not looking at it from every color that there is. He's not looking at everyone as in the human race. So what he's saying, I mean, it did not, I want to say, shock me, because, you know, when people say what they say, it's something how they truly believe that. Now, we may find it, you know, appalling because of what he's saying, but that's his truth and that's his belief. Now, not that it is no fact at all, but that's just what he believes. And many others believe the same way. It is hard to help them another way. So what they're saying, that's their truth.
Reverend Smith, you know, it's amazing that we talk about, you know, the Bible talks about the power of the tongue, and we have this saying about loose lips sink ships. But you would think that these men would know what to say and what not to say to help the other side. But clearly, Donald Trump and Roy Moore were incapable of staying away from the kinds of things that would continually disrupt their mission or their agenda.
Roy Moore felt emboldened because he heard what he saw and heard the things Donald Trump said and the things that Donald Trump did. So if you notice, when you heard Roy Moore speak, very seldom you heard him speak, And then when he spoke, he always invoked the church and God and all of that. But there was a mimic going on. And so he felt like Donald Trump told us that I could stand in on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody. And I still would get the votes. And so they all now really and truthfully believe that. They really believe that, not understanding that there was a double factor. There was Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. More people disliked Hillary Clinton to a certain extent, even though they voted for her, and they didn't want Trump. But basically, it was a situation where the Electoral College, which I know we need to get rid of, I know that. But they feel emboldened to say what they want to say now, James. Anything. But with these last two wins, they're beginning to see that the people are not going to put up with that. They put up with it one time. They really did. They put up with it one time when they elected him. And now they say, wait a minute, we made a terrible mistake, a terrible mistake. So now they've gotten to the point that they don't want to put up with that anymore. And you can't blame the people. What do we see? We don't see anything but food. And it is a situation where Roy Moore thought, sure, he's gotten away with so much. He's been kicked out of the seat twice. And he felt that, hey, if Donald Trump can do it, I can do it. Wrong era, wrong time. That's what it all amounts to. Wrong era, wrong time. And these millennials are not about to let anybody get away with anything else. They said, we made one mistake, we're not going to make another one. And people are just tired right now. They're tired of the tweets. They're tired of the foolishness. They're tired of the junk. They're tired of the investigation. They're tired of the lies. All of these things that are going on. Now they want to get a second counsel to investigate the investigator. And this it's just sad. It's just sad. It's enough to make you want to go up there and just jump up and down in the middle of the floor and start shouting. Anyway, that's what it's all about.
Regina, let me ask you, because I had one time stated that Roy Moore seemed like the return of George Wallace, somebody who was just unafraid to say anything and would say the kinds of things that he said. I mean, when somebody asks you the question, when was America great, and you go all the way back to slavery and suggest that slavery was a time when America was great, seems to suggest that you have some issues and you don't really care about alienating people of color.
Okay, let me ask you, who made that statement?
Roy Morris.
Moore did?
Yes.
Oh, okay, you know what? Guess what? Focused and forward. Moore doesn't even matter anymore. Moore is no more. No more Moore. He does not even matter. But what we have to be concerned about are those who voted for him, because they're going to still be out there trying to get others galvanized, as Trump said. In 3 years, he's going to be able to that seat will be up again, because Jones is filling out Sessions, his time. So just as Trump said, we didn't get it this time, but we're going to have another chance. And that chance, they're going to be galvanizing those people who voted for Moore this time.
So we have to be forward and focused. Moore is no more. Who cares what he thought? He is a lame duck. He's still over there trying to beg for that seat, and he ain't going to get it. He is no more. Forward and focused.
Carol, that is something we have to say. It was a very close race, and I think that he only won by a few percentage points. How do we reach out to those people who had the nerve to vote for him to try to get them to understand the kind of position they were putting us in? Or is it just they are so filled with hatred that there's nothing that he could have done that would have allowed them to vote for Jones?
Well, just like you say, just like was just said about Moore, I think that the more we focus on him, and it's not a good thing, but bringing the more positive out on Jones and the work that he will be doing. So if we can focus more on that, don't want, you know, because my thing is that we will be given more attention, and right now he's irrelevant. So bringing Jones to the forefront and helping the people to get more out of their mind, off of their mind, and starting to see what Jones is actually going to be doing to help the people. And that way they can start, you know, leaning toward him and saying, oh, I didn't realize that. But the more you focus, you know, that's just like when you tell children don't do something, they want to do it even more so. And when you steady talking about this person, then they gravitate toward that person. So in doing just the opposite, you know, start bringing about what's going to be taking place instead of what's no more, you know, what's not going to happen and what kind of person this was. And, you know, we will be given too much of focus on him and not enough focus on the next step.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. There's a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place, heal the world, make it a better place, for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying, if you care enough for living, make a better place for you and for me.
DeShay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. Reverend Smith, how do we, I know that this is just the beginning, and we've only won in these two consecutive states, but how do we maintain this momentum and take it into next year where we can win the House and the Senate back and really put some controls or restraints on Donald Trump if we have to endure him for 4 years?
Well, James, I think that that's going to really be up to a lot of us out here, and more so up to the Democrats who are up there in Congress to put out the right messages and do the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't just say it, but stand up. Stand up, and when something is right, do it. Do the right thing. When it's wrong, say it's wrong. Stop beating around the bush, because people are really, really, really getting tired of Washington, not just for one party, but we as individuals, we should not have to be going through a Voters' Rights Act all over again. What do you mean? We are Americans. So why should we? This is what the Democrats ought to be working on. Why should every so often we have to go back and get another new bill for our Voting Rights Act? That doesn't make sense to me. I'm in America just like the people. The whites don't have to go back and get a Voting Rights Act. So those are the kind of things that the Democrats are going to have to stand up and let the people know we want something permanent. We're tired of temporary foolishness. We're tired. The people are tired. And it makes me angry when I see that so many people died for us that we might be able to vote. And every time an election come up, people have got to go out and beat the brush to get you to carry your behind down to the polls to vote. If we got a lot of power, James. We as blacks got a lot of power. We got power in the resale sector, and we got power in the corporate sector. We got power all over. But because we are so fractured, we don't use it. We don't use it. So now it's time for us, since we've had these two wins, to stand up together. Don't let the whites be the one always speaking up for us. Stand up together and say, look, enough is enough, and this is what we want. The Constitution says we the people of these United States of America. We are the people. There's a video that's on Messenger right now, and it talks about where that we built this place. We built all of this. And what make us having to go back every 20 or 50 years or whatever it is, I don't know. I haven't researched that yet. But I'm going to research that. Why do we have to go back and get the return of saying, can we vote again next year for the next 20 years? We need to stand up. We need to stand up, and we need to stop having to have people like Charles Barkley and others to come to our community to get us out the vote. Just because he's a star? No, what about you? You're a star. You are a star. But you are burning flame.
Let me ask you a question, because you bring it the truth. I used to have a certain amount of respect for Paul Ryan, and to me, he symbolizes a man who once had respect. When you see who Donald Trump is, you need to just be honest. Even if you lose your seat or lose your prestige or your power, He should have stood up and said, America, this man is not right for our country, and we need to do better. I just think that Paul Ryan is an opportunist, and he just showed his true color when he did what was right for himself related to his power, but then related to what was best for America.
Mitch McConnell did the same thing. Most all of them up there. Look at all the people when this idiot was first elected. Look at all of those people that he invited to his golden hotel. Look at all of the ones that talked and said all these negative things about him. They went and sat with this man and ate. You're not going to talk to me that way or talk about my family the way that he did to what's the guy name out there in Texas or anywhere else. And then you're going to invite me and I'm going to have lunch with you? I forgave you, but I don't want to have to be around you. So Paul Ryan and all the rest of them, these rich, very wealthy men, is what I was talking about in the beginning. They are very wealthy individuals who have their own business and corporations and stuff like this. Why are they kissing up to this man? I don't know, but I do know this. Paul Ryan is, they're talking about Paul Ryan today. If you watch the news, he's saying that when his time after the 2018 election, he probably won't run again. But they're all looking forward. They're looking to the future. And like Regina said, that's where we and Cheryl, we need to be looking to the future. Stop waiting on celebrities to come and tell us, it's okay. It's okay, baby. You can go vote, baby. You can go vote. Go ahead, okay? Get out of here. Martin Luther King died. Even some white people died. A lot of people died that we might have a right. And you won't exercise that right? I'm through. God bless.
Cheryl, after that, we've lived this, and I have to tell you, it's amazing to me that there are people out there in the world who refuse to be a part of the solution, who just continue to ignore their responsibilities related to voting and being actively involved in making America better.
I don't understand that either. And from what I'm gathering is maybe they don't know the importance and what, we had to go through to have the opportunity just or the privilege to be able to vote. I mean, and it doesn't matter how small the election is, every vote counts. And we need people to go out there. I don't know if we're missing the mark, if we're not passing it down from generation to generation and telling people, the next generation, how important it was and the history and everything else that goes along with it. And when people start to complain, and if they haven't voted, then I don't want to hear nothing that comes out of your mouth, really nothing. And then we have to look at the fact, too, we have a lot of individuals out here who have been incarcerated and the privilege of voting has been taken away from. So we're losing a lot of votes. And then there's another group, the Jehovah Witnesses. They don't vote at all. Now, I don't know if there's any other groups that don't. But, we're losing votes. And I know for a fact, as far as the Jehovah's Witness, because my sister is one, and she don't vote. She said they don't vote at all. And I've known people, that's been incarcerated, and depending on their crime, that privilege has been taken away from them. So we're missing out on a lot of votes. So the individuals who can vote, and we need to stress that to them and talk to our family members, because those are the ones that we can reach first. Before we go out into the community, we need to start reaching family, talking about it, asking them and telling them, you know, making them see the importance, because some people may not even realize how important it is. They just, you know, some people are nowhere near into politics or the fact that this is how things, you know, a difference is made by going out to vote. You know, they don't, a lot of people just don't realize it. So we have to be able to, that's something that every one of us that's here can commit to, is reaching out to family members and asking them, are you a registered voter? Do you exercise your right to vote? Do you go vote? You know, and then also being another help, people who can't get to the voting polls, to, you know, to help somebody or to connect somebody with somebody else. We can do more than what we are doing. But we got to not only just do our part, we have to be able to spread the word and to be helpers and to be doers.
All right, we're going to go to our final break, and then we're going to come back and give everyone an opportunity to say their final this evening.
Thank you.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, we are here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruptions. Cheryl, what is your final thoughts for this evening?
As usual, very good show. I really enjoyed the comments and suggestions and the opinions of everyone on here. And like I always say, you know, no matter what we are doing, we can always do better and to improve, you know. And I say, you know, let us reach out to our family and our friends and our community so that we all can be doers and participate and put some of these things into action.
And Reverend Smith, you are so right. You know, there's some things that need to be put to rest and not revisited. And certainly our right to vote and to participate in what is the Constitution should not be denied or interfered with. And we've allowed too long for certain people to be putting obstacles in our way when it comes to you being a part of what is our birthright in this country. And we need to put some things to rest, and we need to create this momentum and keep it going. So what is your final thoughts for this evening?
Thank you, James, for this platform. But I'd just like to say to all of you who prayed for my daughter, after 13 days, she's home, and she's doing great by the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah.
Praise
and,
God.
Praise Him. We just thank God for each and every one of your prayers. And I say, you know, it's sad to me sometimes when I watch us. I don't look at I know what the other race of people is doing, and I know what the others, and I know what us we doing most of the time. But it bothers me when I see my own people. They don't care. They just don't seem to care. And that's one thing that we've got to somehow know. And I tried changing that when I was pastoring. Now that I'm retired, even now when I go to evangelize in other churches or do revivals and things, I still speak in terms of these voting and all of this stuff. But we've got to. That was Cheryl, I believe. This. We've got to come on. We've got to start it in our homes and let it fall out like domino, like the domino effect, and get us to really, and the Democrats got to come up. They've really got to come up. I don't know where else to go, but I'm not going to no Republican, that's for sure. But they've got to come up. They got to stop being little patsies and come up and say what they mean and mean what they say. That's it. Thank you.
I so appreciate those individuals who support my show and want to just say that we want all of your support, of those of you who are listening, to call in and let your word be known. I also want to ask you to write to me at djames82@aol.com, djames82@aol.com. Write me and let me know what you're thinking. I want to be able to reach out to you and share with the information that you need to know about the subjects that we have on every show. I want to be able to request your presence on this show so that we can hear your voice, because we want everyone's voice to have an opportunity to be heard. This show is not just for me and the few people who call in on a regular basis, but this show is for everyone. And we want all of you to feel free and comfortable, no matter what your position is, to call in and share your opinion. We are willing to listen, and we want to be able to merge toward the center where all of us can feel comfortable with the rights that we're supposed to all share. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in to Thoughts, Love, and Reflection at 657-383-0309, where your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. Again, that's 657-383-0309. I want you to call in tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time so that we can have a conversation about the things that are going on in our world that impacts us now and in the future. Take care, everybody, and see you tomorrow.
Your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road and teach them to love one another that heaven might find a place in their hearts. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know He forever. We've got to walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. And I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and pray that Jesus is love. He won't let you die.
Thoughts, Love, and Reflection by James T. Deshaies. I am a gladiator. Despite what others choose to see, my life is determined by my selected steps. Regardless of the traps set by those who hate me, I am the master of my lifelong quest. It is my convictions and courage that will decide the success of my personal journey, not the dreamless limitations of those who refuse to see the greatness of my legacy. I walk not in the shadow of those who wish to be unnoticed. I stand tall in a crowded room of those who created their own path through life. I am driven to make noise where others wish to remain silent. I wear the suit of those who slew dragons and ruled kingdoms. I will not give in to the starless skies of those who see me as worthless and without meaning. I am a present-day gladiator, and I will have victory over the kingdom of my birthright. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Your voice can be heard loud and clear and without interruptions. Don't allow self-doubt to silence your dreams. Call 407-459-4827. That's 407-459-4827. Allow your dreams to take flight. Increase your quality of life and your monthly cash flow. Visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies.com. That's JamesTDeShay.com. If you enjoy my poetry, please hit the like button and subscribe. I look forward to you becoming a part of my listening audience.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.